What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Off the Dome Radio. Today for you, we have our first ever repeat three-peat guest, Carl Casewagon Hibbert. He is a fashion visionary and founder of Fortunate Lifestyle, his custom clothing brand. And so we just kind of rehash, see what he's been up to, what's new since the last time we spoke, and we kind of dive into a little bit of everything. But we ask him, you know, different goals that he's working on. He goes through some new designs and pieces of clothing. He just dropped a 20-piece collection recently, so go check that out. He finished tour with Young Nudie after our last conversation. So we kind of dive in the weeds on a bunch of different things. He gets into his own mindset and the type of work he's really been doing, especially just digging in the trenches, as well as he gave us a few different goals that he's looking for and looking to achieve by the end of this year as well. It's a lot of fun, great episode, probably my favorite we've done with him. Tim, what'd you think of our conversation with Carl today?
Yeah, Carl is someone who's been at this for 11 years. He's passionate about it. I've never seen someone so dedicated to their craft as he is. So we spent a lot of time talking about like his business model of his business, like customizing custom clothes for people. And a big thing that I wanted to ask him is like in scaling that business, being a solo entrepreneur, being the only person that's the true engine behind his brand, like how does he go about seeking advice from people outside the business when growing it? Like how does he know how to read people? How does he know how to filter good information, bad information, and mix it into his own secret sauce? So I thought learn about that process was cool. And like I'm always about the relationships and asking questions about, hey, what does he look for in people that he partners with? How does he navigate? And I think we spent a lot of time talking about that too, and being able to do that. So yeah, third time coming on here, Carl Hibbert. We even though it's the third time, we uncovered completely new depths of 100%. Information. So I think this is a really good episode for people who are not only like solo entrepreneurs, but anybody who's in the business of people and just building relationships. I think everyone's going to get value from this episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Episode 193, Carl Hibbert, Casewagon. Carl Hibbert.
Yeah. Well, first things first, we got to show off these... Carl Hibbert, Casewagon Original.
Fortunate Lifestyle.
Half and half.
Thank you.
Yeah. I got this black one last time. Yeah, see. Guests that hook it up. And I have friends that always ask about that one. And they love the half and half. Mm-hmm. And I'd never worn that type of shirt before you gave it to me. Never wore one.
Really?
I was like, I don't know if I could wear this. Like, can I rock this? And then I wear it, and I was like, oh, that's a cool shirt. I was like, yeah, if you need one, let me know. I know I got a guy.
There you go.
I got a guy now. I got people.
One-on-one. Custom clothing air.
Yeah, thank you for your time today, Carl. We were just talking off camera that you are the only podcast guest we've had that's a three-time appearance. So it's third time
on.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll link out the other episodes in the show notes when we publish this. But
100%.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
For sure. It's always a pleasure to be here. Always good questions, good energy.
Definitely. Yeah, so what's, just to give people a background who haven't listened to your first two episodes, you want to just give, like, a brief description, rundown on, like, who you are, what your business, Fortunate Lifestyle is, and just kind of introduce yourself for the people just meeting you for the first time.
For sure. So my name is Carl, Carl with a K. Fortunate Lifestyle is the name of my clothing line, FLS. Been doing it since April 2011, so 11 years as of this year. Really just the motto's always been living life, making moves. I guess the kind of the mantra behind Fortunate Lifestyle is being an individual rather than a multiple. Mm-hmm. So it's always pushing the custom individual brand. Before I even was actually physically making clothing, I always just wanted to have the ability to make something exclusive so someone could have their own brand or their own name or their idea on clothing.
Yeah.
Because really the creative outlet that this really spanned from in high school was really wanting to be able to see my peers wearing my ideas. Like, I thought that was the coolest expression of kind of support and just creativeness, is seeing people in the hallways walking around with my designs on their shirts. So that's kind of really where Fortunate Lifestyle started.
Okay.
So knowing that that's where I wanted to go, I knew other people wanted to be able to express themselves through clothing, whether it be through different fabrics, textiles, or just the words, that's the script that's on shirts. So that's really where it started, and 11 years later, here I am.
Yeah, damn. I mean, anytime you're in business for yourself for 11 years, you must be really good at it and love what you do. And yeah, I love what you say about individual, not a multiple.
For sure.
When did that get instilled in you? Like, is that something, like, where did that come from? Is that something that, or I guess, what's the meaning behind that? How'd you decide on that?
So, honestly, I came up with that. And so, in high school, senior year, I took a class, it's entrepreneurship class. So, shout out to
Carl. Awesome class for a high school.
Exactly, right?
That's what they need to teach.
For sure. Shout out to Carson. Carson was my classmate. He was my friend as well, my classmate. And we didn't know what business. We kind of had to create a business, but it had to be something that could actually be sustainable, something that you can actually grow upon, something you could go to and like get actual market research in the community on. So I told him, at this point, we're senior, so Fortunate Lifestyle had been an idea for 2 years at this time. So I told him, he knew about, people that were close to me knew about Fortunate Lifestyle. I was making stickers, putting them around on lockers on school, putting them on lunch trays, printing out like 100 pieces of paper that just had the brand on it, dropping it in the hallway on the floors. Like, people knew about Fortunate Lifestyle. I was doing a bunch of Facebook videos, tagging everyone I knew in it. So.
Brand awareness.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So I asked him if we could just do Fortunate Lifestyle for our company, and he said, sure, that's fine. So for that whole semester, the market research, the data, everything was as if we were creating a Fortunate Lifestyle, like brick and mortar, like location.
Okay.
So we looked up kind of, I think like there's a place in Broad Ripple, Tiki something, and then some online different clothing suppliers. And we kind of just used that as kind of building our brand, our prices and everything. So in that project, we had to come up with like a motto for our brand. And Living Life, Making Moves was the initial one that I made for Fortunate Lifestyle when I began the brand. But I wanted to come up with something that was more, because we had to present this at the end of the of the semester. So I was like, what's something that would be really catchy? Because our main focus was the fact that it was custom clothing. So individual rather than a multiple. We're pushing you being able to stand out from a crowd rather than having the same clothes everybody buys from a retail store. So that was really the push behind it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For sure.
Yeah, no, that's cool how that grew from that. Because, like, obviously with education, there's always talk about, hey, are the right things being taught in schools, this, that. But, like, the fact that, like, you went through a class that guided you through that process of building that, and, like, what it is now, like, that's noteworthy. That's
for awesome. Sure. Appreciate that.
And I think with it being exclusive, because it is exclusive.
Right.
It puts it on a different level in terms of sales, too. It's like, oh, you can't just go to Walmart or an H&M and buy this. Where it's like, where'd you get that? It's like, oh, you need to talk to the guy who makes it.
Exactly.
Like, you can't go talk to the manager, see if they got it in the back, and people want to be a part of something that you can't get.
Exactly.
Right. So has that really helped your sales too, when it's more, hey, you can't get this, like, it has to be custom made just for you?
I would say yes and no. I would say yes, because just because people see things that I'll post, and it'll be actually one of one. I made it custom for this person. This person was like, hey, I like this shirt, but I want it in purple, so I'll do it for them. Mm-hmm. Another person will be like, oh, that purple, I might post it. I try nowadays not to post as many customs, just because people then blow me up and say, like, certain people said they want it, they're ready to pay, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I always respect the one of one that I gave to the person. So, if we came together on some fuchsia colorway to do for, you know, Off the Dome, and it had, like, a embroidered O over here, and it was like fuchsia shirt, a little bit of bleach on it, whatever. And I made that for you. I posted it. Shout out to you guys. And someone's like, yo, my name's Oscar. That's beautiful. I want that same exact shirt. I would be like, okay, we can do something that's fuchsia with an O, but it would not be the same style. Different. I would respect your custom. I always make sure that if someone paid for, someone wanted a one of one, or they created that, or we did that together, I honor that. So I can tell someone else that we can do something similar, different color, different style of this, but I won't have some, because I feel like that'd be the craziest thing, to push like a custom clothing line, and then one day you're out and you actually see someone in the same custom as you.
Craziest thing ever.
Exactly. So I try to make sure that I keep track of like the one-on-ones I do, and I make sure that if someone has that, I respect that.
That's really awesome though, like respecting that, the one custom piece. Like, I can guarantee no one else will have this.
Exactly. And that's what keeps people coming back, because they know that if they're having a video shoot, if they're going out of town, or they can have some fly stuff that they know no one else is going to have. And people really like when people ask about that. Where'd you get that? Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen that before. People take pride in that because they know that they can either, well, when people ask, like, where'd you get it, they can, I don't know. Or they can tell them, oh, well, I have a guy, you know what I mean? People really like being able to say they have a clothing guy they can contact. Or a lot of people will see things in stores and, like, they'll actually send me pictures of it and be like, yo, you can make something like this, or I need something to match these shoes. Can you do something like this but in this color? And it feels good because it's like people are genuinely thinking of me, or organically thinking of me when it comes to clothing and fashion. So that's really good.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
And that ties into what we talked about on here about, like, listening to the customer and listening to the end user and solving problems for them, but also, like, listening to what those people are saying. And I'm sure that's, it's nice for you to get those messages and people giving you that feedback.
For sure.
Obviously, you're the one making it. You're the one dedicating time to the craft. But, yeah, listening to what the customers are saying, I'm sure is allowed you to be successful for this long.
Yes. Shout out to Huck. My recent collection that I dropped was 20 pieces. Biggest collection I've ever dropped. I remember middle of this is the first collection I dropped this year, full collection. I've just been going through a lot of moving stuff and then just personal, just school, career things. And I wanted to make sure I had time to really dedicate to this collection. So I remember when I really dove down into wanting to make sure this collection is like my best one yet, I downloaded the app for my website and I really got into the analytics, got into the background stuff, saw what countries, cities, how often people are coming on, the time of day, what pages they're going to the most, how long they're spending on the pages.
Yeah.
So I know my friend Huck, he had told me at one point that, like, my clothes are cool, but, like, I don't have that many pieces. So, like, it's a quick scroll and then you're done. Like, I had like seven pieces on my website at once. And you got to think, I had seven pieces. One of those is a hat, another one something like seasonal. So it's really like five or six pieces that people can really go through to wear year round. So I really took that into consideration. And this past collection I dropped, I had 20 pieces. I made sure I had hoodies, pants, shorts, jackets, long sleeves, vests. I had a jewelry accessory. If I didn't already say hats, a lot of different pieces, so that there's a little bit of everything, for a little bit of something for everybody. So I had graphic tees, I had some small script tees, a little bit of bleach, some embroidery patches. So a little bit of something if you just wanted something minimal, stripes, a little bit of everything. And that's like I said, shout out to Huck, because him telling me that he's on the website often, but it's just a quick scroll, it's not enough to look through. That really made me think about that. So I have enough pieces that people can go on there. Even if you were on there last week, you can come and scroll a little deeper, click on something, see the colorways. So
good.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And,
for sure.
And it sounds like throughout the process, like, these are just business lessons you're learning, like, every single day. And hearing you, like, get deeper into the details with, like you said, the analytics with the website, where people are ordering from. Like, data always does tell a story.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it's good to see you kind of continuous improvement with the website.
And, for sure. Appreciate that.
And are you primarily website sales, or what's the mix in terms of, do you do pop-up shops, like anything in person, like brick and mortar, like anything like that too?
Yeah, so I'm mainly online sales. And this is where you asked me a question, yes or no, earlier, and I said the answer to the yes part, I didn't get to the no. So one of the reasons why I like the custom aspect of it kind of has its downfalls, kind of I was talking about the analytics. So this past collection I had, I tried to do something where I had it was an F pendant, like a diamond pendant type of thing that was like free for the first 25 online orders. And I did that kind of to push the online push, and like still the same rate of online orders as it is through all the other platforms. What I mean is people will just text me their order all the time. People would just send me screenshots of the pieces and be like, da da da, let me know what I owe, Apple Pay, Zelle, Cash App. And I mean, like, of all my total sales, probably like through the year, month, whatever, I would say probably 80% is not on the website, like, honestly. So and so that's what hits when it comes to checking my analytics. Like, I'll have, like, in a day I'll have maybe 100, 200 website views, but then I'll have like no orders on there. But then, like, for the day, I actually have three orders. Three people ordered through DMs or texted me things. Okay. So when I go back to look at what pieces are the hottest through the website, or just see through the website actually what's going on, it's very skewed, because it's just, you know what I mean? The online orders really come from people who don't know me or are out of town. And even then still, if people connect with me through Fortunate Lifestyle or K-Swag and Instagram, they'll just DM that page and say, hey, can I get this? And it's like, I'm not going to redirect them to the website. Like, I'll just handle the business there. But yeah, so that's one caveat. And since people are doing customs, you can't really order a specific custom through the website.
Yeah.
That was when I was making my website, when I began the brand, that was one of the hardest things, was trying to convey, like, I had a custom clothing like option. You click that, I had like a solid standard price. Then it was like a text box where you type in like what the custom is you wanted. And it got to a point where it's like, how can I charge you before I know what you want? People would just be very vague in their description. And it's like, I don't know what that means. So I'm having to reach back out. Mm-hmm. So being able to do custom through a website was very hard. So it got to a point where I was just being able to just do orders through text and just let me know what you need and just text me. So that's where it's built to that to that surface. But I'm not mad at it. I've grown from it. I have a VIP list that I keep now. So whenever I have a quick strike or like one run of pieces, just like one of each size, or before I drop a collection, I hit those 20 to 30 people and just let them know, hey, I'm about to drop tomorrow, but here's the lookbook. Let me know early if you want anything. So now that I know who's willing to text me and who really keeps up with me, I have those people on the list now.
I'm sure this man's phone is ringing off the hooks, though. You got to get yourself a second phone.
You need two.
Right, yeah. I actually did have two phones for a little bit, but I got rid of it after like a month because what was happening is like, you actually have to remember to bring both phones everywhere. I was leaving my second phone at home, like the emergency, like the business one. Like, this is my everyday phone, but if you have like a business reason, hit this phone. I was leaving that at home. So then people are contacting this phone, like, why did you tell me to contact the other number? I'm like, I'm sorry. So it got to a point where I just didn't want to be that guy with two phones. I'm not answering the second phone. So I just said, I'll just get better about being on my
Fair
one.
Yeah. Yo, I was going to ask you about the custom ordering through the website. Have you ever played around with like a form that people can fill out? Like, obviously, like when you're discovering what someone wants out of a shirt, it'd be ideal to just like engage with them directly, ask questions, whatever. But have you ever thought about like having like a pretty in-depth form with questions that people can fill out?
I'm gonna be honest though, I don't know if it's just our generation. It'd be in 2022, people just, attention spans, people just don't like
they
that
don't. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I always put myself in people's shoes because I'm a consumer first. So even when I started the brand in 2011, this was like before a lot of people were doing like clothing lines, I guess, more like commercially. But like when people did have their brands, it was when like Supreme and like that was like really hot, so people were doing like blank t-shirt with like just their logo, like corner tee for like $80, $60. This is when people are doing that type of thing. And I was like, I wouldn't pay that. No, even just to support somebody just for like a one-off tee.
Yeah.
So like, why would I do that for my brand? So I always made sure when I started dropping my shirts, $20, $25, because I know that's something I would be willing to pay. So I know other people would be willing to pay. I didn't want to have people paying $100 for hoodies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
So getting back to it, when I look forward, sorry, I get on tangents sometimes.
No, you're good.
off the dome, baby.
Yeah.
We go where you go, man.
In the name of our show.
Yeah, for sure. But so looking forward, when I'm building now, I try to make sure that the pricing structure of what I do is comparable to what people are willing to pay.
Yeah.
So I've gotten really good about my suppliers, really good about my the people that I work with as far as who I get my samples from, who I get my my prints from, my custom vinyls. So I'm really good with them, like face to face. So I'm able to rely that they're going to get me quick shipping and stuff like that. So I don't really need like a factory or brick and mortar or anything like that, because there's a lot of overhead that comes with that.
Yeah.
So online sales is primary to me. But pop-up shops, I really like doing pop-up shops. I use that as a time to connect with other people, to go to other cities. I think I've never done a pop-up shop in Indiana, because I like to go to other places and kind of expand, and I like to use that as an opportunity to collab with somebody. Mm-hmm. So I did a pop-up shop in Dallas last year. The person actually backed out last minute, but they had a local brand down there. And when I'm able to do that, it allows them to get some exposure, and it puts me on the map as well. It gets their brand in there, and we get a lot of foot traffic, cross-branding type of opportunities.
Yeah.
Man, we might need to talk further, because now I'm thinking, if he came to that cannabis convention in December in Virginia, would that ever be something that would benefit your business, you think, being at a cannabis and psychedelics conference?
For like clothing, part, like vending?
So like I'm part owner of a business. We do cannabis conventions, and we're going to be in Virginia, but we're going to have like psychedelic speakers. Like, people are going to do vendors and booth spaces. So like, we're selling booth space, but anyone, if like your banking system that takes payments, transactions for cannabis, people that are farmers, cultivators, like, we're not going to have products to sell or buy, but I didn't know if that market is something that would be like benefit to Fortune
definitely
Lifestyle.
Definitely forward that to me. There's definitely when it comes to vending, just because like I do a lot of things custom, it's kind of like the time that goes into creating like 100 pieces isn't just like ordering them in. Like I have to hand make them and then go out there. So a lot of vending opportunities just aren't worth, not worth my time, but like it's a question mark a lot of times nowadays. But for networking purposes, it's wonderful just because of like the portfolio that I have and that I'm willing to like move around and do a lot of custom work for people at a large scale.
Yeah.
Things like that, you never know. People are starting their own company and just want some shirts, or if maybe they have a company and they need, they're doing staff events or what they have going on. So
yeah, I'll send you the info, because we're going to be going down there. We're going to do like 10-15 minute just quick interviews
for sure
with people, super and like dope. If nothing else, the people that are going to be down there, like killers in business
for sure,
like, absolute savages. But I had a question about your collection. So you said you did 20 pieces. Is that 20 different pieces of clothing and design too?
So it would be 16 different ones. So then 16 different ones. Two of them I have two different colorways. So there's one Fortune Lifestyle Supply shirt. There's white and there's yellow. And there's another shirt that I have in black and green. But other than that, everything else is, different pieces.
So what's that process like when you say, I'm gonna do another drop, do a whole collection? Like you said, that's the biggest one you did. So kind of take us through that process of, you know, start to finish of what that looks like, because someone might be out there thinking, oh, it's just like 20 different pieces, that's not that bad. And it's like, that's a ton of work, especially for when what you do is all custom.
Right.
So what's that process like when you're ready to do a collection? Like, all right, I'm going to do this by this date, and here's how I start.
All right, I'm going to do it like this, because this would be the most fair way to do it. So I have the lookbook right here. Give me a number between 1 and 20.
15.
15, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8. Okay, 15. That's the Ride It Till You Die Big F t-shirt. So that piece is an olive green t-shirt. It's 5.5 ounces. The back is a 13 by 12 inch full color vinyl screen print. The front has double embroidery, 6.5 inch letters, the vibrant orange and black letters on the front, the big F, match the Ride It Till You Die vinyl on the back. Ironed on first and then embroidered around the edges to make sure it stays there for durability. And that's one piece. So that's a lot of different. I have to order in the embroidered pieces. I put that on myself. That custom vinyl, I order in the vinyl and then I apply it myself. And then the shirt, I actually have a distributor in the city I go to handpick those out so I can feel them, make sure everything is the weight and everything is good. So. And that's one of the 20 pieces, you know what I mean? So it's a lot that goes into each piece. My biggest thing this year that I told myself was I was going to move away from doing a lot more, move away from the bleach, less script, so just less t-shirts that just say Fortune Lifestyle on it. I wanted to do more design, more graphics, more colors, more vinyls. I wanted to do more one-of-ones, meaning like more runway, like fashion show type pieces, and move away from just like the everyday streetwear. I'm a streetwear brand, so at the end of the day, that's still going to be a staple. But I wanted to have different things that could be more upscale. So I dropped like an embroidered Chanel vest that had like a big 7-inch Chanel patch on the front, two-tone colorway. And then on the back was a 17-inch Death Before Dishonor vinyl. And then it was a nice black vest with like concert pockets on the side, buttons down. I dropped some wax leather pants. So they're actually like good, thick, tight ankle closure, water repellent, wax leather, ships in from Indonesia. I do custom embroidery on the back with like a leopard print patch with a big F blackout patch on top of that. So like the pieces I'm trying to do, like I still have the everyday streetwear, like the shirt I have on, but then there's also like the more upscale pieces for more concerts and more stepping out type of runway shows.
Cool.
So for like this latest drop, the drop of 20, did you have all 20 of those concepts outlined and thought of before you ordered all those materials, or did you kind of outline the concept one at a time for each one?
Definitely one at a time. Okay. I really started by, so I have like four different boutiques or suppliers in the city that I frequent pretty often just to see what new pieces they have in, whether it's full runs or just one-of-one pieces. Mm-hmm. And I started by just going there and getting inspired by the pieces. I just saw some fabrics and different just cuts I liked, and I picked those up, and I just sat on those for a while, just looking at the blanks, thinking what I could do with it. And after that, I went into so I have presentations I keep every month since I started in 20... When did I start actually designing shirts? Maybe like 2016. So I have files on my computer that I save every month. So August of 2019, I did whatever work and I saved that. And then September of 2019, I did new work. So I save every month. So if I need an old design, I'll just think back or go look at my phone and see what, around what time I was working on it, go to that file, find it. But to date now, what I would do is go back in time and I'll look at designs that I maybe made last year, whatever, but I never printed. I never actually put on a shirt. That was just like an idea that I never finished. Mm-hmm. And I'll start from there and see, okay, was this actually something that had legs, or was it just something that was just a scrap idea? Mm-hmm. So I started from there, and I'll get a couple ideas from there. And once I've really taken from outside my boutiques, my old designs, then I'll kind of just use either inspiration or I'll just kind of go off colorways. Yeah. So I have a board on my wall, my vision wall, and it just has different color palettes. It's like a picture, and it has like a red square with like a blue square on top of it, so you can see kind of what those two look like, and like a gold square with like a green one on top of it, and olive green with the green. So a lot of the colorways that are in this collection span from the color palettes that were that on my vision. Wall. Facts.
Yes.
Facts. Okay. So wow. I made sure that like that. I was looking at it, and that's actually where I started. Now that I think back, that's where I started. I looked at that color palette, and I circled the ones I really liked and boldened together, and then the ones I didn't like, I X'd those out, and then that's what I did. The old designs I had in my computer, I put those all in one document, and then I matched up, and I said, which of these color palettes correspond with any of the old designs I did? And I think there was two of them that I saw, the blue and the yellow, were in the blue and the end, like type of thing, and I said, I'm definitely using that, because that's an old colorway that I made, and this is a new color palette I made, and they're still coming over. So
yeah.
I kind of just did some crossover stuff like that to make sure that it was an eclectic collection. Things of old, things of new, colors that really catch my eye, things I wanted to see just on paper. So I think it's a full collection.
Yeah, I like that. And I like also what you said about like repurposing old ideas that you had like last year, stuff like that. Because like that applies to like clothing designs, even like thoughts that you would write down in a journal or something.
Mm-hmm.
That
for
just
sure.
shows like a thought really is never fully finished. Like, I mean, maybe you when you create a design, it's final, like
right.
that's what it is. But that shows like when you put these thoughts to paper, like you can always build and improve upon them.
Exactly.
I like that.
Exactly, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of thought and detail that like feel like, oh, it's just, you're just making a shirt.
Yeah,
no, you're not just making a shirt.
Nah.
You're like building from scratch.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Design to the actual application, whether it's gonna be embroidery, heat, sewing, applique, then there's the actual garment. Are you using poly blends, full cotton, silk? Are you using, you know, Velcro fibers? Like, it just, there's a lot that goes into it. And then when you get into the denim space, there's a lot of shipping of denim, different Australian denim. There's Indonesian denim. There's
You do any raw denim?
I've tried, but yeah. it's really expensive to get those in. I try to get denim in like big drops, so I can get just big boxes of them, just 20 to 50 different sizes, different colors, different washes, and just go from there. Mm-hmm. I actually have it's an idea I came up with end of last year that I've been trying with these denim jeans. And my friend told me to stop saying if and just start saying that I'm going to get it. But when I get it down, it's actually going to be like, quote unquote, I don't want to say revolutionary. It sounds too bold.
That's going to be the one where it's like,
I get what you're saying.
It's the one. It's like how that black half and half, that's been my staple since I started the brand. Like that's the FLS shirt.
That's one of the few you'll make in more quantity,
for
right?
sure. Yeah. For sure, that's the one that like kind of just says a lot about the brand. It has the logo, the half and half, it just it's mm-hmm. emboldened. These jeans I have in mind, it would be on the same type of time where like I could do that type of design to black jeans, to gray jeans, denim blue jeans, acid wash jeans. I would be able to do the design to any jeans. It's a design that would stand out. It's not in circulation by any brand. No one's ever done it like I'm trying to do it. No one's ever done it, period.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's like, I have one sample in my house I've been trial and erroring. well, no, it's one that I've actually got good, but there's like four different ones I trial and errored and I messed up all of them.
Yeah.
But this one's a good sample, and I want to say this winter I'm going to have it. If it comes, oh my goodness.
I was about to ask when you think you're going to get it.
Definitely this winter. I don't even think, because this collection is so big that I'm going to push it for the rest of the year. I don't think I'm going to drop a winter collection, but I want to keep dropping consistently. So I plan on having like a quick strike drop next week of just some track pants, embroidered track pants, but it's going to be a colorway I've never done. So I'll have probably one of every size, small through 2X. And then I might do a collab. I want to do some pop-ups. I'm planning a pop-up with this guy in Atlanta for Halloween. So probably do a couple pieces with him to drop then. And then whenever I get the denim together, I'm just dropping the denim just straight by itself. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Gosh, for sure.
I love it.
I can
hear the passion inside of his voice.
Yeah.
That's the thrill of the chase, man, in entrepreneurship, right? Like,
it is.
Like, always looking for the next best thing to improve your business and improve your craft. And there's no better feeling when, like, you learn something new and something, like, clicks and it completely, like, reignites something.
For sure.
When you see it's not done, too, I'll have to tell you about a project I'm working on
for sure.
off air.
Yeah.
Because it's a cloth thing, so you'll dig it.
But for sure.
Yeah, to know when you got something that's like you've searched the internet, you've searched stores, and it's like this does not exist. It's like those are the tickets. It's like, all right, it's time to ride.
I think that's the I'll just shout out to Quinn. That's like one of my closest friends. We were just talking the other day about just like the solo grind, like not even really just entrepreneurship, but just hustling like for yourself, just working. Neither of us, him and I, have like traditional 9-to-5 jobs. And we were just talking about how the joy and the success day to day comes from being able to make a way for yourself. Like being able to know that you wake up in the morning and it's on you to, whether it is feed your family, whether get something done, help this person out, it's on your shoulders. And day by day, week by week, you're getting that job done. And we kind of said, and this isn't to shame anyone with a traditional job, we were just saying like, going to a 9-to-5 and knowing that you have that security every 2 weeks of that paycheck coming in is good. But knowing that you're doing it on your own and knowing every day that it's on you and you have to put in that 110% effort to be able to get that paycheck, whether it's daily, biweekly, or however often you get paid as an entrepreneur, that success just feels way better. Even if you have those periods where you're struggling for a little bit or you're low on money or you're trying to figure it out, even if you have those moments, when you do figure it out and you have those success points, it outweighs that because you know you did it on your own.
Yeah.
So 100%. I definitely feel like that's a big trope this year that I've been trying to push upon is if you got to take a step back, if it takes some time to build or grow something, that's fine. Make sure that you bounce back twice as hard as you did before. So
yeah,
100%.
I like that, and it sharpens you too. Like when you're on your own, there's a sense of accountability. Like
exactly,
you're a lot more productive. Exactly. You're a lot more disciplined because you're an entrepreneur. Because you run your own thing. Like you fail on your own terms.
Yeah.
You succeed on your own terms. Like the lessons you're learning, it's because it's a path that's unique to yours. You're not failing for someone else. Like someone else isn't telling you. And I think that's the best way to learn.
Facts. So. I tell myself that I don't feel like I can't lose. Like that's my thing. Like I never take a loss. Like that's my mindset. It's like if you tell yourself that you're losing this and that, you got to have a winning mindset. It sounds cliche, but like honestly, anytime that I take like a step back or something, I just look at it as a lesson. Don't do that again. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm still here. I still have time to make a change. That loss or that L that I took was just readjustment that I need to make to go do it again. That's all it is. So you just can't let that defeat you. As long as you bounce back from that, it's not a loss. It's just a lesson in the journey. Yep. So
it's how you view it.
Exactly.
And going off your, you know, you got to make it yourself when you're on your own. I saw, I forget who posted it, but it was geared around when you figure out how to make money on your own, like creating something from nothing, you treat money with a different respect too.
That's true.
And so I'm not saying like if you have a 9-to-5 that you disrespect your money. Some do, some don't. But when you figure out like, oh, I'm getting income because of something I've created, a service that I'm better than someone else at, or product I've created, you just, money is very different. And the mindset of the money is not the same as what other people have.
Exactly.
It's like it's a resource, it's a tool. It's like, okay, now I'm reinvesting to double and triple and 10X.
Right.
Not just, all right, a little bit here, spend a little bit there. And it's like, no, like I got this. I don't know when the next batch is coming.
Exactly.
So how? What do I do with this? What's the best use of this money I have today?
Exactly.
To last me maybe 2 days, maybe 2 weeks, or a month.
Exactly.
And I thought about that. I was like, yeah, I think about money very differently than when I was getting working in corporate. I was like, oh, every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Cool. Like, I'll coast this week. It's like, here, there's no coasting.
Exactly.
If you coast, you're not getting paid.
Exactly.
If you're not getting paid, you're not making rent, you're not eating. If you got kids, like, shit, man. Like,
I think that's a good mindset to be in, because it forces you to have to scale, forces you to have to work and network, and you have to go harder, and you have to wake up in the morning knowing that it's on you. And I just feel like that's a good feeling. I mean, I've gotten to the point where it used to be kind of stressful, because it's like, mm-hmm. you can't just have a day off. You got to be making some move, whether it's an email, a phone call. You have to be doing something to try and compound your work. So
yeah. That's good. Carl, remind me again, are you, like, Fortunate Lifestyle, are you technically the only employee? Do you have any people that work for you right now?
No, it's just me. I've tried, I think I've had like probably like 6 people I've tried to like have as my assistant, but like that just hasn't worked. So okay. Not even like on bad blood type of thing. It just hasn't worked.
No, I get that. And then I guess my question for you is, like, as you continue to build a successful business and scale, do you, like, in terms of like getting advice, consultation from people outside of your business, mm-hmm. how do you go about like knowing like what advice to take, what advice to not take? Like, how do you go about reading people, reading intentions, and evaluating advice you get being a solo entrepreneur?
It's a very good question. A lot of people try and give me advice as to what to do, as to literally down to like, you should drop this, like, and I get it.
Oh,
and
should I?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, and the thing is, like, I always tell my friends that are like, I always tell my friends, like, I'm an open book. Like, I want them to feel like if they see something that they think is cool, like, tell me you think that's cool. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That doesn't mean I'm going to, 10 times out of 10, I'm not going to do it. Like, you know what I mean? But you telling me that is something for me to be aware of. Okay, that's something that's on his radar, so let me watch out for that. Or, okay, there's elements in that I kind of mess with. I see what he likes in it. So it's just stuff like that. And a lot of times, like I said, shout out to Huck, because he told me the thing about the collection, and I literally implemented that directly into my work. Shout out to Josh. He gave me a lot of, me and him both kind of dive into the Japanese culture as far as fashion, TV, anime, just a lot of different realms of that. And there were some Japanese script teas that Bathing Ape had done. And he told me that it would be nice if, like, Fortunate Lifestyle did something with like a plain script tee, just black hoodie, white script right across there. It says Fortunate Lifestyle. So I've done certain things with script before, but nothing just minimalistic like that. Mm-hmm. Like maybe 3 inches tall, just really small. And I was like, okay, cool. We continue with our texting conversation that day or whatever. But I actually thought about that and I really liked it. And I did a digital mock-up of it, printed it off, and it's on my vision wall. So one day he was over at my house. He was just looking at some clothes and I had in the room, and he looked at it. He said, bro, you actually printed that out? I said, yeah, bro. Like, that was a dope idea. Like, I'm going to probably do that. He was like, bro, shook up with me. He's like, bro, I appreciate that. Like, you actually, like, listen. Then there was another thing I'd asked him about, and I had bullet points of, like, everything that he had said on the wall. Mm-hmm. And he was like, bro, you actually, and I was like, yes. Like, I hear everything people give me. That's why it's always good.
Sure.
But, like, I'll just filter in what I want and what I don't actually think will be beneficial. But, like, that's why I appreciate people that are open mm-hmm. with me, because,
yeah.
like you said, listening to the consumer, like, without – You can't be closed-minded when it comes to a brand that's built on people.
Right. That makes sense. And yeah, and like, my belief is, like, when taking advice for how to run your business and operate your business, it's kind of like baking a recipe. Like, you have ingredients that go into a recipe, like, just like you put salt or whatever. It's like advice from this person, or like you could, like, a post you saw on social media,
right?
Something that your competitor is doing, that something small you like. I feel like if you can kind of engineer like small bits and pieces of information along with your own intuition, that kind of goes into like your unique service offering.
For sure.
Like, we were talking about on a podcast, like, a lot of like the information we learn, like, it's online, it's all out there. Like, there's infinite amount of information out there, but like the most successful people know how to like take that information and like transform it into something that works for like them and like them only.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
that's what it's about. It's all perspective. Good. Yeah.
So, Carl, last time we connected, I think you were getting ready to go on tour with Young Nudie.
For sure.
How'd that go, and do you have any tours coming up?
That was a great tour. That was right before then. Yeah,
I could tell.
Yeah, good tour.
By the way, you see.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in. We did Houston, Dallas. We did somewhere before Houston, but it was my first time in Texas for that tour. So I just remember Houston was really nice. Dallas was nice. And then we went to. Oh yeah, and then the tour we went. Up east, so we did New York. It was really crazy. I don't know who planned the tour, but I'm gonna be honest with you. Like the end of it made no sense because we took a break in the middle.
Ass backwards routes, out there, man.
Ass backwards routes. So we took a break in the middle of the tour, and everyone went back. So they went to Atlanta. I'm back in Indiana, and they're driving like tour bus. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing like sprinters and stuff. So they went from Atlanta, then we had a show in New York. Yeah, we had a show in New York.
And saw family after that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. We went to New York. And then after New York, we went back down to Philadelphia for a show the next day. Then the next day after that, we had a show in Boston, Massachusetts. So we went back up past New York, drove through the whole entire state up to Massachusetts. And the craziest thing is there's a terrible storm the night before in Philadelphia. So, and then the last night was in Boston. So we're like, a lot of people are like, yo, they want to just fly back to Atlanta from, I'm like, that would be very smart. And I was hoping more people did it so I could be like, yeah, all right, I'll go home from, well, actually what I was going to do, because Philadelphia is like a train ride from New York, like 2-3 hours. Mm. So I was like, okay, well, what I'll do after tour is just go take a train back to New York, see family, spend the night, and fly back home in the morning. But everyone was like, no, we're just, they were saying that, just kind of talking shit. And then the next day, everyone was like, yeah, we're going to go to the last night. So I'm like, ah. So I had to take the bus then from, or the train, yeah, the bus from Philadelphia all the way through New York up to, I think there's another state you pass. Oh, no, yeah, New York, New Jersey, and then you're in Boston, Massachusetts. So we did that and then flew home from Boston. So it was a good tour. I just wish they would have planned that. But we could have literally pinged straight to did Philly, New York, Boston.
Yeah, how long was the tour? Total days.
Total days, probably like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because, yeah, gotcha. It was only that one break that we took, but other than that, it was like every other day. Yeah.
So when you go on a trip like that, like, you're obviously working the entire time in some way, like, mm-hmm. You're networking. Do you find that you're still able to do, like, your, like, admin stuff or, like, talking with vendors or like any of the stuff that you're able to do back home?
Not how I'd want to be honest. I honestly, I don't plan on touring like that again.
Okay.
Gotcha. The next time I plan on touring, I want it to be with like my peers, like either my friends that do music or my friends that do YouTube. Like, I feel like I've done enough touring and enough industry stuff with those people that I have enough connections. I know how to do certain things. Shout out to Swoosh God. I was just helping plan their U.S. tour. There's like three artists in New York, and they were doing a U.S. tour. And I was on the management team. We were planning a lot of stuff. I was on phone with the investors, on the phone with the artists themselves. I actually compiled a Excel spreadsheet of the venues for the tour because they were looking at 5,000 people venues. Got the phone numbers, even reached out to a couple of the venues. So it was really cool just to be able to have my hand in there and see what goes into planning a tour. So the next time I tour, I really want to be either on a management standpoint or somewhere where it's me and my peers, not just tagging along as the merch guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Well, you should be a little more strategic with it.
Exactly. Yeah. For sure.
Johnny's got that world tour in, what, a year or two? I forget the date we set when we talked to Johnny on the podcast.
Let me know.
Yeah. We spoke it into existence.
We did.
He's going to be on world tour.
Manifest it.
Yeah, for sure. That's how it goes. When you speak, I feel like, and I just said it to somebody yesterday, you could think about something like 100 times, but the second like you say it, it becomes real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it was something the other day. What was it? Oh, it was some family thing. One of my close family members is going to be moving away like overseas soon. So I was kind of emotional. They've been here like my whole life type of thing. So I told my friend, like, I had thought about it like 100 times it might have happened, but like this is the first time I was saying it out loud to them. And like I got choked up as I'm trying to say the sentence. And I'm like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. Like, I've thought about this so long, but it's like now that I'm saying it, it's like, oh, it's becoming real.
Hearing your voice.
Manifestation's real. Once you say it, it becomes something you got to live up to. Now it's in the
100%.
Air.
Yeah,
it is.
We've been saying some shit lately.
Yeah, no, whenever I'm in the shower, I definitely speak it out into existence.
Got
everything
to.
I want to achieve.
You have to.
I'll sing. Press it. Like,
hey, who are you talking to in the shower? Don't worry.
Manifesting. Let
don't,
me be.
Don't worry.
Exactly.
About it.
Exactly.
But man, even though those routes on tour were crazy, like, that is the hustle.
It is.
And it's like, there was a guy that I was in a company with. He helped start PhilSac. He's big time real estate here in Indy. But he said one time, we had a call at like 1 or 2 in the afternoon, like middle of everyone's work day. Mm-hmm. And people like, oh, can we do this time, that time? He's like, no, we can't, because if you want to play at the top, it's not always going to be convenient.
For sure.
You want to make millions, it's not always going to be convenient.
For sure.
And I've always hung on to that. And there are probably so many people that would not do what you did because, oh, man.
That's the best.
Home is so close.
That's the best.
I'm just going to go home. I am going to fly. I'm exactly. not going to ride this out. But it's like, when you are on your own, that's what you have to do if you want to make it to the top.
That's the best. That mindset right there is what got me to do back-to-back trips a month in 2017 on a mega bus to Atlanta. Those type of things. Just thinking to myself, the next guy's not willing to do this. The next guy's not going to put $200 in the gear to go take a 12-hour mega bus down and then 12 hours back just to give them the free gear on a bus. He's not doing it. He's not going twice a month. Right. That's why I'm going to do it. And I'm going to stand out.
Those people on tour, they want people like you on with them. Exactly. They don't want someone who's going to, oh, man, I can't make that 12-hour
exactly.
bus ride. Like, people who are hustling want hustlers.
And I'm not going to lie to you. And it was one of the things, like, and I'm so just, like, on tour, I'm just so quiet and humble to where, like, I'm not, I'll see somebody, like, I listen to his music all the time, but I'll just sit back and I won't go approach him or be on any fan type of thing. I'll just play my role as the merch guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's always been just, like, someone will approach me or they'll see me taking clothes on my bag and they'll be, oh, what's this? Oh, you make clothes, you do it yourself? Get my number down. Every number I've ever gotten, anything like that, has been because they gave it to me because they wanted me to tap in with them. I never asked people, oh, like, put my number in your phone. I can get your number. Never do any of that type of thing. But it's just gotten to a point where my work speaks for itself. So when I'm actually building these relationships with people, I don't feel like I have to be so flamboyant. And so, hey, look at this. Hey, look mm-hmm. at this. So on tour, a lot of people really appreciate that I kind of just sit back and really just do my thing. And I just let them approach me and kind of go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, when the product speaks for it, it's like, I did that.
What was the question you would ask me? I feel like I went on another tangent just there. I feel like I didn't actually answer what I was trying to go to.
Was it your question?
Or yeah.
Question?
No, I think it might have been
yours. Asked me something about going on tour, and you said...
do you have any other tours coming up? I think that was the second half. How
you said even bouncing between cities, even though we were doing that.
I had asked how long the tour was, but
yeah.
I guess, and then you were just talking about lessons learned. Like,
yeah.
And you said, like, you'd rather do this type of tour.
He asked if you were able to get admin work done.
That's what it was. Thank you.
Alpha brain coming in.
No, we ask a lot of questions on this podcast. Sometimes it's tough to get lost in my
for sure. For sure. Yeah. So it gets to a point where, like, I'm not able to manage myself as I want to because I'm having to constantly worry about this last tour, for instance. So it was a point where I was just bringing gear just for the guys and giving them their stuff and going on. But towards when we went to the East Coast in Philadelphia, they saw, like, I was coming with, like, suitcases full of gear. So his manager was like, how many pieces do you have? And I told him, and he was like, oh, no, bring that up front. We're going to put that, like, on the merch table, like, where they sell, that's like, cool. artist merch. So that was, like, a big moment for me. So at that point, so for the last three cities, I was actually getting, like, a percentage of the table cut. So that was really cool.
That's cool.
So that was a good aspect of it. But once they started doing that, now city to city, I'm in charge of, like, making sure my merch is getting picked up, is getting put out, the inventory of how much is getting sold, this and that, the numbers. So I'm not, and I think I tried to drop while I was, I always try to do stuff like that just because visibility, just for, like, social media and stuff. It's good to like drop when I'm about to go on tour, do something just because I can promote the gear while I'm on tour. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I dropped right before tour. It was the dumbest thing because I wasn't able to manage orders. I was super late on shipping a lot of things. And then just I wasn't able to, like, promote my thing on social media, and, like, I wasn't able to post, like, products and breakdowns and things that I'm just posting on tour. So that's one of the caveats of being, like, the sole proprietor, is that promotion's on myself. Marketing's on myself. Actually distributing the things is on myself. So even when I was in New York 2 weeks ago and I dropped this collection, I remember I was on my phone and computer for like 4 hours. I was at my cousin's house, and she's like, "Are you done yet? Are you done yet?" Because she just wanted to go out and do something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, "I just got to post on Instagram one more story. I got to go on the website."
Relatable as hell.
Yeah, I got to go update the website real quick, get the lookbook, make sure all the prices are right. Then I got to double check. Got to get something on Snapchat, get the link posted here, make sure all the VIP texts that I sent out, make sure I'm responding to people saying, "Okay, I got your order down. Here's the price. Here's the price." Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of just managing that, and there's no way that I could do it on tour again. Mm-hmm. No way. So
Yeah.
Would you try to, if on tour, would you try to hire someone, like create all the content, the posts, and have someone else do all that for you? Just like part time, like, "Hey, I just need you for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
I would.
Or would you just stop things while you're on tour and then come back?
That's what I tried to do the last time when the nudie tour, I think I said before I posted, like, "I'm not doing any more commissions. Like, I'm not doing any more because I'm dropping." Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't work out like that. Like, you do that and someone says they have like a little league football tournament, or they have this basketball thing and need like 30 shirts or something. And I just like, it's not even the money thing, honestly. It's like the fact that, like, my friend Josh, shout out to Josh again. He has a friend that works with him, a coworker, I should say. And she has like a little league football tournament that they're doing out of state, but they need like 60 shirts for it. She was just talking about it at work, and he plugged me in and said, "Hey, my friend Carl, woo woo." And she's contacted me to do that now.
Nice.
So like, that's a good order. Yeah, money wise, but like, even if I was swamped with something, I'm going to make that make sense just for the sole fact that I appreciate Josh reaching out for that business for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And just being able to keep my name alive when it comes to just, "Oh, he does business." And after I do her project, then she'll tell people, "Oh, yeah, this is the guy that did it for me." So I feel like that's just a big part in being able to grow. So I feel like, I just appreciate the word of mouth. I appreciate the growth of business. So I never feel like it's over. It's a blessing. There were days when I used to hope that I had more orders than I could handle, because that means I'm doing something right. So
For sure. Do you think you'll start hiring someone in the next 12 to 18 months to help just orders and shipping? No.
the whole just trying to get an assistant has been the craziest thing ever. I don't think having an employee would be absolutely nuts. I hate having to micromanage anyone. Even the shout out Brodeen, even the YouTubers I manage, I don't micromanage them at all. All I do, like, it's like a partnership. Literally, they do all their content. I don't manage any of that, and all I do is the emails, partnerships, and all the business side of it. I let them know when they have an interview, when they have a partnership. "Hey, do you guys want to do this deal?" They'll let me know, and then the only thing that I'm jumping in with is, like, we have a deal, or it was yesterday that we had to get a video in for because there was some like time restriction. "Do you guys have the draft ready?" "Yep." "All right, send it to me tonight by 9. I'll forward it to him." And it's just like that. Otherwise, I do not like micromanaging.
Well, here's the thing. They trust you to do that for them.
Exactly.
Because you're good at what you do and you're organized. I'm saying there's probably another Carl out there that's organized that will deliver on their promises.
It would have to be organic. It has to be organic.
Maybe if you're listening.
Eventually.
We need someone listening that knows clothes and shipping and business. Yes.
I told myself, if I ever find anyone that even can give 50% of the effort that I give to this business,
we need a Carl 0.5.
That's it. We don't need a 2.0. 0.5. That's it.
What's up, everybody? Carl 0.5. Where are you at?
That's all we need. All
DM,
we need.
Email, just subject line. "Hey, that's I'm hilarious. Carl 0.5.
That's it.
Better be legit if you say it.
We'll bring him on for around 4, and then Carl 0.5.
0.5 will be here. There we go.
We'll zoom you in if we got to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Carl, our last episode, you asked us about what we thought the word militant meant.
For sure.
And I know you just had this big drop, so I'm sure you were militant with that. But anything else you haven't covered today where you had to be more militant than something before, different project where you're like, "Wow, I got to dig my heels in a little harder here and just make sure I am the most militant I've been to date"?
Yes. Yes. I'm just thinking how to tell
good,
this.
Man. You're good.
All right, yeah. All right. Shout out Brodeen. So next week is Rolling Loud New York in Queens, 23rd to the 25th. So this year I told them, and it's a really big thing, and that is, I guess it's a good segue, because I want to introduce you guys to Brodeen for sure. I'd love to have them on here for an episode. They just passed 1.03 million subscribers last week, and we're just pushing, and their persistence and motivation motivates me to keep going, and vice versa, I hope. But through the connections I've made with artists, rappers, just state to state over the years through clothing, I've built some pretty strong relationships with people on tour. And one of the artists that I've done a lot of work with, just like one-on-one, he's actually he understands I'm invested in him outside of anything for clout or social visibility. He knows I actually like care about his music and care about his talent. So he runs a lot of things by me before he drops, as far as videos, as far as audio, marketing routes. He actually asked me like, what marketing scheme should I do, my album week, stuff like that. So I always motivate him there. And I was trying to get connections to get Brodean locked in with Rolling Loud so they could get there, get some access, get a media pass, something. And the routes I was going through, emailing a lot of labels that we did deals with, a lot of people directly just at Rolling Loud through their website, like bizdevelopment@rollingloud.com, and just wasn't getting there, no responses and stuff. So there's even a label guy that we do deals with on the monthly basis that works with Rolling Loud, and he just wouldn't give up the info. He'd stop responding when you ask, like, hey, can we say, because we did videos for Rolling Loud before, but it was through them. So I'm like, hey, is there any way that we can CC or send this directly to Rolling Loud so they know, you know, we can build that relationship? And it always have to go through him, you know? So one of the artists that, like I said, I was really invested in, and he knows I really genuinely like his music and his talent, he gave me connections from Rolling Loud that he had got years prior. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to those connections to Rolling Loud for him primarily, and I didn't hear anything back. But then I followed up with those same connections for Brodean, and I reached out and I said, hey, we did some videos for you in the past. We'd love to work with you in any capacity. It doesn't have to be financial. We just want to do a partnership. We'd love to come out there at our own ticket and just work, create some skits, recap videos, vlogs, whatever, just for the event. We really love artists, hip-hop, and just the Rolling Loud scene. And no response for 2 weeks. I kid you not, it was the day I got in New York, like an hour before I dropped. I just got off the subway. There was no reception down there. So I get off and I get like 4 texts from Brodean. They're like, Carl, you're the GOAT. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Call us. I'm like, what's this? So I call them, and immediately they're like, bro, check the email. So like, we all are logged into the business email. So I kind of sometimes try to prompt them not to open emails. Like, look at it from the swipe down, but don't open it, because then if they open it before me, I won't know that we got a new email, so I can't respond to it accordingly. So I'm like, I didn't know we got an email, so I open the email and I see it, and it's Eric from Rolling Loud. He said, thanks so much for your email. We would love to work with you guys and have you on site for Rolling Loud. We can get you guys a X amount dollar stipend for travel and pay, and we'll work with you guys. We love to have you on for everything you outlined, have you introducing this, working here, recaps, vlogs. So I was like, what the hell?
That's what's up.
I said,
that's why they trust you to do that.
You know
that's
what I mean? But it was like, but I guess the question was like a time I had to be militant this year. Mm-hmm. And that was just, and like, I never used that connection with that artist to get this connection, but it was something that like, I just invested in him genuinely. And then all the talks that we had late night about his craft, it was never based on me getting any Fortune Lifestyle Pub off anything. It was always just, this is what I think you should do. I see what you're doing here, but I feel like you're lacking here. I feel like this could be better. What are you doing here? Who is this guy on your team? Are they actually doing this for you? Do you need someone to connect you here? I was actually doing all that. I wasn't managing him at all, just an invested person.
Sure.
And he just saw that, and it turned into giving me a connection. I had tried all these other outlets to get, and I couldn't get. And it turned into something that I was able to present my clients, friends, whatever you want to call them. But It all turned out full circle. So I think just being militant is, I'm glad you asked that question or brought that back up.
Great question.
Because being militant is just, everyone has their own definition of what it means. To some people, it's more cynical than, it means more cynically than others. But militant to me just means head down, focus, tunnel vision, and by any means.
Mm-hmm. I love for it. Sure. I'll go no show, baby.
For sure.
It. Yeah. I know we gotta stop at 11. Tim, any other questions you wanna?
No, I think the questions I laid out, I thought we covered them all naturally, so I'm good on my end. If you have a question, but since we brought him on for the third time, I have a different way of asking our last question.
I was gonna say, let's do something different for the last question.
But
I
you,
think
you have,
I
you
think
have questions,
go I'm ahead. Good. Okay. Carl, before we kind of spin our last one, anything else that you wanna make sure we cover? I know we got like all angles going today. Anything you want to make sure we hammer out before we kind of start wrapping up?
Let's see.
Anything goes. It's off the dome, baby.
Next time I'm on here, Yeah. All right. I'm going to say two pretty big goals. And next time I'm on here, the small goal is the denim. I've perfected it. I've either dropped it or I'm about to drop it. And I will probably have a pair with me in studio to show off since I've hyped it up so much.
Dope.
I want to perfect, and that'll just be fortunate denim. Yeah, that'll just be fortunate denim is what I call it. So yeah. I'll have fortunate denim done next time I'm here. And the big goal is something I've had on my to-do list every day. I'm a big fan of post-it notes. Like every day or every night, it's either every night or every morning, I have to start my day by writing out what I have to do that next day. So when I start my day, I just know, all right, these are the five important things, so I can cross them off by the time I go to sleep. So, but the one thing that's been on there every day, no lie, for like 2 years, and I rewrite it every day for like 2 years.
Part of the process.
is I want to get my brand to an overseas, specifically Japanese or Chinese supplier. I want to get either a manufacturer, a website, consignment shop, online boutique to pick up my one piece, my brand, something, and sell it through their wholesale supplier, so either Chinese or somewhere in the foreign market in the fashion industry, because that'll take me off. And I just know the designs I do, because I take a lot of my inspiration from a lot of Japanese brands, a lot of just Chinese symbols and just signs and symbols that I use in a lot of my graphics. I just feel as though if I'm able to tap into that market, that'd just be a whole different just realm that I can really just dive into. So next time I'm here, those are my two goals. Fortunate Denim and overseas supplier.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Love it. It's out there now, dude.
It is, exactly.
I love that we documented it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's go.
So now I got to ask, how'd it feel to say it? I know we talked about the denim already.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked about that big goal like in that detail before.
It's big. Like me saying that now I know like when
there's
I go home.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Like the reason it's been like on my list so long is because I've actually put it at the last line at the bottom of the post-it every time. Not gonna lie to you, every time, because I know it's something that's not gonna get done like today. It's not something I can do overnight. It's something that just needs to be on my radar, but that's all it is. It's just on my radar. I haven't actually made any actionable. I've made some, like I know the routes to jump into and contact, but I haven't contacted them. I haven't jumped into those routes. So today, and you guys have it here documented, today I'll move it on to my actual list. There, so I'm actually making a move on it.
But everything you've done up to this point has benefited that
exactly goal. Exactly,
like the 20 piece collection, like
it's all timing,
new designs, exactly, like everything is a culmination of when that happens, it will be exactly when it needs to happen.
Maybe I can go back and cut that video of him saying that and send it to him in a little package, that way he can just have it playing.
Whatever
motivates you, man. Exactly. Motivated by something different.
That's love for sure.
That's good. Cool. Okay,
all right, Tim, take it away.
Yeah. So obviously we've asked you before how you want to be remembered. Okay. I was trying to think a different way to ask this because it's kind of the same question but in a different form. So when you go on a Wikipedia and you type in like any person, it'll say their name and it'll be like, so-and-so is an X, X, and X. When we've brought you on and we published your episode, we've always said Carl Hibbert, founder of Fortunate Lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's what you are. I mean, that's what you're known for. But are there any other like terms or like things that describe you well apart from like founder of Fortunate Lifestyle? Have you thought about that question before, or like what do you want people to refer to you as besides that?
It's a great question.
That's some hot shit. hot take.
The first one that comes to mind, I'm just gonna say because it's the first thing that came to mind, but like this wouldn't be my actual answer, but this is off the dome. So the first thing that came to mind was mogul.
Okay.
First word. But like if I'm actually like sitting here and I'm like thinking of something very constructive. I've always told myself legacy wise, like I always just want to be remembered as someone that did everything that he said he was going to do. As far as just like when it's said and done, like if he said he was going to do X, he did that. If he said he was going to be here, he did that. He just wasn't the guy just blowing smoke. But as far as who I want to be remembered as, leader comes to mind, but I don't want to be remembered as a leader. I feel like you should just be yourself, and if people choose to lead, I mean choose to follow, they do so, but I don't like move to be a leader. Visionary is a good one, because I feel like myself along with Brodine and all the creative people yourselves that I align with, it all started from a seed, and everywhere we are now, it grew from something. Mm-hmm. So I feel like being able to be the first person to see your vision and the only one, because you can't explain your goal to everyone. Like, mm-hmm. being able to explain in length, like what I just said to you guys about the whole Chinese-Japanese fashion distributor, like, that is the most I've ever spoken that to anyone. Like, I dabbled it to one of my friends before, but I've never spoken it at length mm-hmm. like that. If I was to sit here and sit to someone and tell them the extent to what I plan to do that as, it would sound crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, how I plan to dive in there, the outlets I want to do over there, how I want to go on a Fortune Lifestyle World Tour one day, go to Jamaica, do a pop-up shop where my dad's from, go to England, do a pop-up shop where my mom's from, and then finish in Japan where, like, everything really originated with my brand, mm-hmm. like, mentally and with creativeness. People be like, that's crazy. Like, you want to do that? What? Like, you're in Indiana here now. Like, how are you going to scale that big? You'd have to know someone in all those places. And it's like, it would sound crazy. But that's why I feel like being a visionary is one of those things that really sets you apart, because you got to see the vision before you do it.
Yeah.
So I think I would just say, boss, mm-hmm. A boss, visionary.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Thank you. Right on, dude. Dude, this was some fire shit.
Yeah.
This is dope.
It's definitely great questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate you letting me ramble.
Dude, all the time. Anytime. Yeah. Can't wait for part four. Looking for that Carl 0.5.
Yeah.
0.5, man. Hopefully I have somebody with me. That's the thing. Like, I don't plan on, like, ever managing. Yeah, I don't plan on managing another fashion brand, but I would love to have someone that is either helping me on the way and that actually wants to do something in fashion so I can show them the ropes with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be my best thing. Like, rather than, like, get another fashion brand and say I'm managing him, he has his own brand, I would rather just a guy that just wants to have his hands in fashion just in general. Because I feel like one place with me where I kind of railroaded myself is that, like, I took myself straight to wanting to do fashion other than trying to be like a stylist. So that's where like the sewing, the cut and sew, embroidery and stuff like that came later in my actual design process. I feel like if I was one of those people that just wanted to, that just learned how to sew just for the heck of it, learn how to screen print and learn just textiles and fabrics just because I like textiles and fabrics, mm-hmm. and then I was like, because of all this, I want to do fashion, I feel like I would have out the gate been so much harder with just how I came about my stuff. So I feel like I want to align with someone who isn't like forced on, like, oh, I want to do a clothing line, but they just love fashion and just clothing and the craft of it. So.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, brother, thank you again for your time and for the shirts. Awesome. Yeah, definitely going to rock those. So until next time. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And we will see you, talk to you again soon.